Marionette. Read. Despite the nightmare our lives had become, I still hadn't fought alongside Lou in physical combat. At Mundranet, she'd been unconscious. At Yield's sister's performance, she'd been hiding her magic. And at the smithy, she'd killed the criminals before I could intervene. I hadn't been able to fathom how someone so small could kill two fully grown men with such efficiency, such brutality. Now, I understood. The woman was a menace. She moved with unexpected speed, feinting and striking with both hands. When her knife missed its mark, her fingers flexed and her opponent toppled, or stiffened, or smashed into the bar, shattering tumblers and dousing the room with whiskey. Glass rained down on our heads, but she didn't slow. Again and again she struck. Even so, Roy and his friends sobered quickly, and they outnumbered 4-1. 5 when the barkeep joined the fray. Coco ran to meet him, but I caught her, pushing her toward the door. Take the others and go. They don't know your faces yet, but they will if you stay and fight. I'm not leaving. Yes! I seized the back of her dress and hurled her out the door. You are! Eyes huge, Beau raced after her. Both Ansel and Madame LaBelle looked likely to argue, but I cut them off, throwing a knife to pin Roy's sleeve to the wall. He'd swiped his tankard at Lou while her back was turned. We'll meet you at camp. Go! They hastened after Coco and Beau. Lou called something to me, parrying 3 men at once, but I couldn't hear her over the villagers' shrieks. They trampled each other in their haste to flee the witch with magic, but the men with makeshift swords proved equally frightening. Laughing, yelling, the 3 strode through the crowd toward the exit. One tore down Lou's wanted poster and pocketed it. He seized mine next. Grinning at me over his shoulder, he tapped his hair. My hand shot to my fallen hood. Take your time. His voice reverberated through the panic, and he swiped a tankard from the nearest table, drinking deeply. His companions had successfully barricaded the door, trapping the remaining villagers, trapping us. We can wait. Bounty hunters. Husband! Lou thrust her palm out, and Gilles's and his friend's skulls cracked together. Moaning, they crumpled to the floor. I try not to be needy, really, but a little help over here would be grand. Roy freed himself and tackled her. I sliced through the barkeep's leg, vaulting over him as he staggered, and sprinted toward them. Ugh, Roy, mon ami, Lou wrinkled her nose beneath him. I hate to be indelicate, but when did you last bathe? You smell a bit ripe under here. With a retching sound, she bit the underside of his bicep. He reared backward, and I clubbed him in the head, hooking Lou's elbow and flipping her over my back before he could collapse on her. She kicked Gilles, who'd been trying to rise, neatly on her way down. You can't imagine how toothsome you look right now, Reed. Grinning wickedly, elbow still linked with mine, she spun into my arms and kissed me full on the mouth. I must have been insane because I kissed her back until... toothsome? I pulled away, frowning. Adrenaline pounded in my chest. Not sure I like that. Why not? It means I want to eat you alive. She slashed at the last of Roy's friends as we dashed for the door. Have you tried any patterns yet? The mountainous barkeep rose to block our path, roaring loudly enough to shake the rafters. Blood painted his leg crimson. Witch! He seethed, swinging a club the size of Lou's body. I blocked the blow with my balisarda, gritting my teeth against the impact. This is hardly the time, but have you? No! With an impatient sigh, Lou ducked beneath us to stab at Roy, who refused to stay down. I suspected as much. This time, when Roy charged her, she rolled over his back and kicked him in the rear. He toppled over his friends' bodies, and Lou knocked away his sword. Magic in combat can be tricky, but it doesn't have to end like this morning. The trick is to get creative. She broke off abruptly as Gilles seized her ankle. Winking at me, she stomped on his face. He crumpled against his friends and moved no more. Smashing my head into the barkeep's nose, I caught his club when he collapsed. The very foundation trembled on impact. Breathing hard, I looked behind us. 5 down, 3 to go. Try to see beyond this disgusting little room to what lies beneath. Lou gestured wildly with her knife. Screaming anew, the trapped villagers scattered to hide behind overturned tables and chairs. Go ahead. Look. Tell me what you see. I returned my attention to the men at the door instead. True to their word, they'd waited. Pushing languidly from the wall, they drew their swords as we approached. I suppose this means you aren't willing to simply step aside? Lou said, with a sigh. Are you sure that's wise? I am a witch, you know. The one with the tankard finished his beer.
Did you know your head is worth 100,000 corones?
She sniffed and came to a stop. Frankly, I'm insulted. It's worth at least twice that. Have you spoken with La Dame des Sorcières? I'm sure she'd pay triple. For me, though, not my head. I'd have to be alive, of course, which could present a problem. For you.
Shut up! The man dropped the tankard, and it shattered at his feet. Or I'll cut it off while you're still breathing.
The king wants my actual head? How barbaric. Are you sure you won't consider taking me to La Dame des Sorcières instead? I'm suddenly feeling quite sympathetic to her cause.
If you surrender, we'll kill you quick, his companion promised. Save the nasty business for after.
Lou grimaced. How magnanimous of you. To me, she whispered, they don't have palisardos.
Focus on the outcome, and the patterns will appear. Choose the one with the least collateral damage, but make sure you choose. Otherwise, nature will choose for you. That's what happened this morning, isn't it?
I gripped my own palisarda tighter.
I won't need it.
I'm trying to be patient, Chas, but we don't exactly have the luxury of time here. The first man's smile slipped, and he lifted his sword.
I said, shut up! We have you outnumbered. Now do you surrender or not?
Not. Lou lifted her own knife. It looked pathetically small in comparison. She looked pathetically small in comparison. Despite my deep, steadying breaths, the tension in my body built, built, and built until I radiated with it, trembling with anticipation.
Wait. No. Let me think. She tapped her chin. Definitely not.
The man launched himself at her. I exploded, smashing my balasarda into his gut, spinning as his companion attempted to maneuver past. My foot connected with his knee and he buckled, driving his blade into my foot. Black spotted my vision as I wrenched the sword free. With a feral cry, Lou darted toward the third, but he caught her wrist and twisted. Her knife clattered to the floor. She flicked a finger in response, and he crashed into the bar with enough force to splinter the wood. Coughing, she bent double.
Teachable moment, she choked. I should have just killed the miserable bastard, but I used the air around us to knock him backward instead, tried to stick him on the wood. It knocked me pretty good in return. Makes sense? I could have taken the air straight from my lungs instead, but he's too big. It would have taken too much air to move him. Probably would have killed me.
She grinned to herself then, wider and wider, until she was cackling. Blood trickled down her chin from her mouth.
And then, how could I have claimed your father's 100,000 coroons?
A knife flew at her from the wreckage of the bar. She didn't have time to duck. With a man on each arm, I watched in slow motion as she flinched, lifting a hand to stop the blade from piercing her heart. But the strength of the throw, the man's close proximity, his uncanny aim, was insurmountable. The blade would find its mark. There was nothing she could do to stop it. Nothing I could do. Her fingers twitched. And with that twitch, her eyes grew less focused, less human. Between one blink and the next, the knife reversed direction and impaled its owner's throat. Lou stared down at him. Still smiling, her eyes shining with unfamiliar malice. Except it wasn't unfamiliar. I'd seen it many times. Just never on her.
Lou?
When I touched her, that terrible smile finally broke, and she gasped, clutching her chest. I pulled her behind me as the two men charged. She couldn't breathe, I realized, in alarm. Despite her own warning, she'd given the air from her lungs to throw that knife. Not as much as it would have taken to throw the man. Enough that red splotches had appeared in her eyes. Enough that her chest worked furiously to replenish what it had lost.
I'm fine,
she said, struggling to rejoin me. Her voice was raw, weak. I stepped in front of her.
I said, I'm fine.
Ignoring her, I swung my balasarda wide, unnerved by her ragged breathing, the thick stench of magic in the air, the blood roaring in my ears, to drive the other two back, to shield her. But my foot throbbed, and I stumbled.
Let us leave,
I said, voice low and desperate, terrified for them. No, not for them, for Lou.
Let us leave. and we'll let you live.
The first rose from beside his companion's corpse. His smile had vanished. Eyeing my injured foot, he pressed closer.
There are rumors, you know, in the city. They say you're the king's bastard son.
My thoughts scattered at this new information. How could they know? The only ones privy to that information were those in our own company. Lou, Ansel, Coco, Beau, and... The last piece clicked into place.
Madame Lebel, we can help you,
the second coaxed, shadowing the first's steps.
We can free you from this witch's spell.
Every instinct screamed at me to engage, to fight, to protect. But those weren't the same things right now. I retreated faster, stumbling again. Lou steadied me.
Please, she sneered. He practically sleeps with his Balisarda, you idiots. I couldn't enchant him if I tried.
Shut your mouth, witch.
What of your dead friend?
She asked silkily. Should he speak for me instead? I pushed her behind me again. My eyes darted to the door, the windows too far. Though the rational part of my brain knew I maintained the advantage, knew my wanted poster said alive, knew they couldn't risk killing me, the same wasn't true for Lou. Her life was forfeit in this fight, which meant theirs were too. I'd have to kill them before they could touch her, before she could retaliate. Even outnumbered, I could dispatch them, even injured. But if I engaged, Lou would too. She wouldn't let me fight alone. Once more she tried to move to my side, and once more I moved her behind. I couldn't allow her to fight, not with magic, not after what I'd just seen. She could damage herself irrevocably, yet I couldn't leave her defenseless either. Clutching her hand, I backed her against the wall, caged her with my body.
Reach inside my coat, I whispered as the men closed in. Get a knife.
She knocked my Balisarda from my hand instead.
What are you...
I leapt after it, incredulous, but she beat me to it, sliding it under her foot as the men charged.
Trust me, she cried.
With no time to argue, I pulled two knives from my bandolier and met them strike for strike. My mind anticipated their every movement. My weapons became extensions of my arms. Even the sharp pain in my foot receded to a dull ache. Inexplicably agitated, I watched, disconnected, as my body fainted, dipped, and twisted with unnatural speed, jabbing here, kicking there. Soon the men slowed, bloody and winded. Hatred twisted their faces as they gazed at Lou, but she'd remained behind me, hadn't entered the fray. I glanced back. My vision tunneled on her contorted fingers, and shock punched through me, stealing my breath. No, not shock, fury. Yes, I'd seen this before. I'd seen it many times. She was using me like a fucking marionette. At my expression, her fingers faltered, and my arms dropped to my sides. Strings cut, limp.
Read,
she whispered. Don't. The men finally saw their opportunity. The quickest of them spun around me, slashing my hands and knocking my knives to the ground. Before I could stop him, his companion had thrust his blade to my chin. The first quickly followed with a sword in my rib.
Don't make this difficult, Diggory,
one of them panted, punching me hard in the stomach when I struggled.
The king wants you alive, and we'd hate to disappoint him.
They jerked me around to face Lou, who'd swooped to retrieve my Balisarda.
Easy, love.
They pushed their blades deeper, warning her, warning me. A rivulet of blood ran down my throat. Slowly, Lou rose to her feet. Her expression was murderous.
That's right. No sudden movements. You can go ahead and slide that knife over here.
She kicked it toward the door instead, eyes flickering at something she saw there. I didn't dare look, didn't dare draw attention. She took a deep breath. Before our eyes, her expression transformed. Batting her lashes, she gave the men a saccharine smile. My stomach dropped. With her white hair, her eyes green tonight instead of blue, she looked like someone else entirely.
Did you know?
She said, holding her hands erect, motionless.
That physical gesticulation is necessary
to perform magic? We have to signal intent. Otherwise, we risk channeling patterns with errant thought. Gesticulation is manifestation.
She recited the last as if from a textbook. Another smile, this one wider than the last, sweeter. They stared at her in bewilderment. I stared at her with dread.
The smallest gesture will do. As you witnessed, I impaled your friend with a twitch of my finger. Took less than a second.
Their grip on me tightened.
My voice was low, strained. Don't do this.
If manipulating mere memory is dangerous, you don't want the consequences of manipulating lives. Trust me.
Her eyes flicked to the door and back. I swallowed hard, grimacing against the blade. She was stalling. That's all this was, but that smile, it unnerved me. I tried again.
There are two of them. Even if you kill one, the other will slit his throat.
The man on my left finished, pressing his knife deeper for emphasis. His hand was clammy, cold. I could smell the perspiration through his clothes.
She frightened them.
Under pretense of struggling, I glanced behind us. My heart leapt to my throat. Ansel, Coco, Madame LaBelle, and Beau were dragging Roy and his unconscious friends out the door. Why hadn't they listened to me? Why hadn't they left? Instead, they helped the last of the trapped villagers to safety. Claude Devereaux sifted frantically through the wreckage at the bar.
I suppose you're right.
Lou winked at me, and the facade cracked. Relief flooded my system.
But I certainly enjoy watching you squirm.
Losing his patience, the one on the right barreled toward her,
and I'll enjoy cutting off your mouthy.
A crow of triumph sounded behind us, and the men finally turned. Standing behind the bar, holding a lit match, Devereaux grinned.
Good evening, messieurs. I do hate to interrupt, but I believe it's in poor taste to discuss beheading a lady in front of her.
He flicked the match toward us,
and the entire building exploded.